Amen. Well, we are in Proverbs 11:29 this morning. Proverbs 11:29. You know, the book of Proverbs is a tremendous book for living. And it imparts to those that are careful to study it wisdom. And my, do we need wisdom in this age? You know, the world drags us along. Regardless of how you fight it, the world drags you along. And you really need to have the power of God in your life to resist, because the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He has his system going in this world, and it's very, very difficult to resist that. But with the study of the Proverbs, we are given the weapons, the ammunition of wisdom to do that. But this Proverb 11:29 reads this way: "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." This is about the home, how to conduct ourselves in the home, which is so important to us. Now, one of the things that I remember as a boy, I grew up in the 1940s and the 1950s before I came to adulthood. But in those years, there was a prevalence in homes of an embroidered wall plaque with the words, "Home Sweet Home." Anybody have that in their house when you were a child? "Home Sweet Home." But you know, I suppose nowadays we tend to be a little bit too sophisticated to have such a sentimental display in our homes, as we try to make everything stylish and everything fit together. But that "Home Sweet Home" message was meant to remind us that homes were to be places of peace and comfort, a place away from the hustle and the bustle of the world, where it would be easy to be oneself. It was a place where your loved ones dwelt, a place where the things that you valued were awaiting your beck and call. You know, I sit in my nice easy chair, and at arm's length I have my favorite things. But that only takes place at home. It was a place where your easy chair called you to sit and rest and perhaps nod off occasionally, nap. A place where you could recover your strength after a hard day's work. So that plaque on the wall, that embroidered sign on the wall, "Home Sweet Home," reminded us of the importance of home. You know, God established the home. And I look back and I remember a transition taking place in the 1950s when television was introduced in the home, and all of a sudden TV trays entered the living room. You know, prior to that, the family would sit around the table and enjoy one another, eating the food that was prepared. But now all of a sudden, we saw shows like Sid Caesar and I Love Lucy, and my, you had to sit and watch them because they were right on television during dinner time. So everybody would gather their TV tray, and Mom would bring the dishes, and you'd sit there and watch the TV, shushing everyone who made noises so that you could hear these shows. It was a beginning of the degeneration of the time around the dinner table. But that "Home Sweet Home" reminded us of the importance of home. It told us of the need to nurture that place and to make sure that outside influences did not harm its purpose of refuge for it was a place where important things were transacted. I remember gathering around the dinner table on all the occasions when we were little. It was a time to face each other, to hear Dad talk and Mom talk, hear about the things that happened in their lives, a time of instruction. It was also a place where you came to be alone with God, to study His Word, and bring to His throne all the cares and woes of life, knowing that He cared for you. But that message, home sweet home, is what home should be. You know, it cannot be imagined that you'll ever see an embroidered sign that says office, sweet office, or shop, sweet shop, or I'm sorry to say, even classroom, sweet classroom. You'll not see that sign, but only home was specially deserving of such a hope as home sweet home. You know, I love to go home. Wherever I go, it is always my desire to go home. We went to Norway this summer. I loved going to Norway, seeing my relatives there, the beautiful scenery. But you know, there was an emptiness in my heart because I wasn't at home. I'm always ready to go home, for my home is home sweet home, and my wife and I work to keep it that way. But the man or woman of our proverb for today falters in that desire. The man or woman of our proverb for today disturbs and afflicts that tranquility that should be in his or her home. Instead, he chooses to bring trouble to his own house, and because of that, there is a reaping of that which was sown, for trouble sown is double trouble reaped. Now, when I ponder this proverb, I think about what happens in the Middle East. I look at the Palestinians and that situation over there, and I see people that continually trouble their own homes. It's just hard to believe to live in that kind of a place where those who wish harm and destruction to the Jews are so ready to trouble their own home. For you see, the result of that trouble is that their home never prospers, but it is the wind that comes and goes, only leaving destruction and misery behind. That's what you see over there on a mass scale of people troubling their homes. The result of this trouble is that only the wind is inherited. And when you inherit the wind, in that inheritance, there is no substance that brings growth and prosperity, but only that which is brought is transitory. Transitory, comes and goes like the wind. You know, the wind only leaves its memory by the destruction that it gives. Even a mild wind leaves its memory by the leaves that fall on the ground. But you never see the wind. You only see what it leaves. You know, we've seen so much in the Midwest and throughout our country, the terrible results of the terrible winds as they spring up quickly and just as quickly die down after accomplishing their destruction. But the winds represent the transitory nature of a man's life. How quickly we blossom and flourish like the leaves on the trees, but you know, we wither and perish. Our life is so quick. It's just but a moment in eternity's time. Just but a moment, transitory. But winds denote vain knowledge and labor. Winds denote empty words and hopes. And they bring Solomon to ask in Ecclesiastes 5:16, what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? And the man who brings trouble to his house finds himself owning the wind. And in owning the wind, he gains nothing that is worthwhile or has any substance. This is God's wisdom to remind us to labor for greater than the wind and not to trouble our house. But winds scatter, winds toss objects about, and so being scattered to every wind or divided toward the four winds signifies complete dispersion or division. You know, like a ship tossed about by the winds with no set course. Persons lacking direction are subject to Ephesians 4:14, which says to being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You know, it's a terrible shame to see so many people directionless, having no purpose, having no reason to live, being tossed about as if they were leaves from a tree, tossed like ships, to and fro, rudderless ships, nothing in control. You know, is it today that the Titanic went down? Well, you know, when it lost its control, all that water entered Titanic, unable to control it, directionless, and all those poor people lost their lives. But that's what that is, ships tossed to and fro, no direction, no fixed path, no fixed way. There are no tracks that have been put in place because the child has not been trained in the way that he should go. You know, parents, you have tremendous responsibility to provide tracks for your children and not have children that have no direction, no direction to go in the right way. Having a life where God's word is not esteemed as the authority of life, and because of it, there is no authority of life. You know, a man's ways are just that, ways in the plural. God's way is one way, not many ways, not changing ways, as a ship tossed to and fro, as the many ways of a man, for God changes not. Man's ways versus God's way. You know, I've heard parents say, I'm not going to influence my children with any religion, and will let them make up their own mind. So those parents are choosing to give their children trackless lives, and the mind that they'll make up is to continue in a trackless life unless God intervenes. But God's way is one way. Man's ways are many ways, and many ways simply bring in confusion. But God's way, Jesus Christ, brings one to perform duties faithfully without neglect. You know, fathers and mothers, you ought to be faithful in performing your duties without neglect. God's way brings one to use privileges for God's glory. You know, you have privileges. What great privileges we have as Americans. None of us lose a meal. We always are fed. We all have places to live. None of us are homeless. We're able to drive here to church in spite of the gas costs. But you know, we have privileges. And God expects us to use those privileges for His glory. But the one who inherits the wind abuses privileges, and he neglects his duty in his family, ending up with nothing for what can be banked from the wind. John 3:8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." There's no bank account for the wind. The wind will not enter a bank account and stay, for it comes and goes, and it cannot be harnessed. But God gives privileges to men and women. God expects duties to be faithfully performed, but neglect and abuse brings only dreams and wishes and nothing of substance. Don't be a person that spends their lives in wishes. Don't be a person that spends their life going after the gold ring on the merry-go-round of life. Be purposeful. Use your privileges that you've been given, and don't neglect and bring abuse to your family. You know, foolish choices will take a house down. And in the doing of that, those who do such things end up, we're told in our proverb, serving those who are prudent and wise in their choices. For as it says in our proverb, the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Now, fathers, it is clear. The scriptures are clear, authoritative in this, that God has so constructed you to lead your house. You are to be the leader in the home. But so many fathers lead in bringing trouble by being greedy of gain, working too many hours, wasting money on foolishness, seeking more pleasure for themselves than is right. Has there ever been an age where adult males have more toys than they do today? It's an amazing thing. But in that, they deprive their family of personal attention. They be stingy with resources. They refuse to invest in the growth of their children. Fathers can be lazy, refusing to take care of duties around the home. My, you drive around the neighborhoods and you see homes that are ill-tended. A big boat in the yard or some other toy, and yet the house is falling down around them. They're slothful. For yet a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep, they see their poverty coming slowly and surely creeping in unnoticed. You know, fathers can also be too overbearing. They can be too harsh or critical or domineering. And in that, they'll discourage their wives, they'll discourage their children, they'll provoke their children to wrath as they not bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, a father like this is a scourge. A father who so controls his family without any semblance of love, kindness, or mercy. A father who neglects the spiritual welfare and in so doing moves his children to evil ways by providing such a poor example. You know, God has told us in this proverb that He will be quick to bring such men disappointment, poverty, and even disgrace when they become a curse instead of a blessing to their families. Fathers, your obligation And responsibility to God is to be a blessing in the home. You're not to be a father who avoids decisions. You're not to be a father who is not the leader in the home. Because when you're not the leader in the home, you are troubling your house. Because the wife and the children are in a troubled sea without a captain. They're tossed to and fro while lacking security and direction for their lives. This kind of leaderless home is a divided home. A house that Jesus referred to in Matthew 12:25, where he said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Now, we've spoken of the fathers, but the other important part of the home is, of course, the mother, who, when virtuous, we're told in the scriptures, is a crown to her husband. You know, some women refuse to be a crown to her husband because some sort of thinking comes into play where that's demeaning. That's not equal. Well, the home was never designed to be equal. The home was designed to have someone in charge. The home was designed for the wife to be a crown to her husband. But if you read the rest of that verse in Proverbs 12:4, "But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Now that's a terrible result. Overbearing wives and mothers can contribute to this rottenness. They can, by using the pious excuse of, "I was just trying to help," they drive their children to anger, bitterness, discouragement, frustration, and even sometimes hatred. You know, wives, you can be full-time meddlers. You can be always digging, always nagging, always pressing suggestions about the unimportant matters of life. You know, just because you think it's important doesn't necessarily make it important. So what is the punishment? What does the scripture say about these selfish and foolish fathers and mothers? Well, the scriptures say they lose their families and inherit the wind. The children can hardly wait for establishing some relationship with others to get away from such parents. But you know, so many times the new relationship is worse than the first. These children only come home under pressure, wanting to stay away, to escape the environment that drove them away. They want so much to escape the aggravation of living with selfish or critical parents. All of us want peace. All of us want quiet. All of us want affection. All of us want happiness where love reigns. But so many times, young people who go off and establish another relationship simply will mirror their parents, for they have lived under such poor examples for so long, they know not how to do otherwise. You know, your example is so important in the family. It's so important. Children pick up your example far faster than they do your words. You know, your example speaks loud words. But those who lead in this fashion, in this critical fashion, lose the challenge of life. They fall and take their place, serving the wise in heart. Folks that are in this kind of situation will spend their lives in envy of those who walk in wisdom, begging for the crumbs of life and wishing ill on those who have. You know, recently we've seen them on Wall Street. They call them the occupiers, and they wish for the redistribution of wealth. They don't have it, but you have it, and they wish for you to redistribute it to them. But they've chosen their lot, and they've spurned wisdom. Now, all of these things that I have said, you would consider dour, gloomy. And yet, sometimes we find this kind of instruction in the Scriptures, and it's there to wake us up. This is not hatred to say what I've said, but this is simply what takes place when God's Word is rejected. You know, we've heard this before from our pastor and others, but within rejection of God's Word, He has so constructed a machine that sets in motion the results of doing it your way. You do it your way. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing of it is of the Lord. And that's the machine that God has set in motion. You do thus and so, the machine cranks out the result. You do good, and the machine cranks out the result of that good. But if you operate with trouble in the home, the machine cranks out wind. Troubling your family has consequences, and those consequences always result in loss, and only wind will be left as an inheritance. It will not be as Proverbs 13:22 says, where a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You know, I intend to try to leave an inheritance for my grandchildren in accordance with this. I want to be a good man. I want to do this because this says it's good to do. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You know, many men leave nothing but the wind for their grandchildren as they spend their time in troubling their house. First of all, they were foolish parents who selfishly neglected their children. Perhaps they overbearingly interfered in their lives, and the natural result will be to lose them. So many people die lonely. Perhaps they get an occasional token visit from their children out of obligation. But foolish choices will cost a man any standing that he has, for the prudent man will take dominion over him. And these judgments are natural. They're appropriate, for they have been established by God for the good of His creation. You know, one thing that I know about God is that God takes care of His creation. We look at little tidbits. We look at little special occasions in our lives, little tiny iotas of life. But God looks at everything, and all things fit together for the good of His creation. God has given to us in His Word example after example after example of men who inherited the wind for they troubled their own house. You know, they're going to stand before God naked, with nothing to show for their lives but wind. What a tragedy that is. There were three men in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. One named Korah. Today that would be a woman's name, but it's spelled with K-O-R-A-H. Another is Dathan, not Nathan, but Dathan. But Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and they troubled their houses when they rebelled against God's man Moses. You know, you don't rebel against God's men that are put over you in authority. Moses told the congregation, separate yourselves. Don't get close to these three men. You know, today it would be, go give them a big hug. Hug them into the kingdom. Well, that's not God's way. You know, sometimes you'll think about hugs today. I probably shouldn't say this, but so many hugs are so insincere. It's such a habit. When I grew up, we didn't have hugs. Maybe that's what I'm lacking. But Moses didn't hug these men. He didn't try to restore these men, because he knew that God had a judgment for these men. And he told the congregation to separate themselves from the tents of these men, lest they also be consumed in their sins. The people listened. When Moses spoke, the people listened. Most of them did. They scattered from the tents. They were wise, because they knew that these three men were about to inherit the wind of God's judgment against them. But you know, not only did that holy wind of judgment move against these three, but it moved against their wives and their sons and their daughters and their little children. For the ground clave open. The Bible says it clave asunder under them, and these little children suffered the same fate as their fools of fathers. You know, fathers, that's the result of your foolishness, is that your children will suffer. What responsibility fathers have, for every one of their actions will affect their families. And fathers, you're going to be held accountable to your Maker. Well, I'm not the leader in the home. I don't make the decisions. Well, that's your problem. You're still accountable. God goes to the one in whom He gave authority, and you are to use that authority. If you misuse the authority, He doesn't back off and give you a hug. You're accountable. Oh, what great responsibilities fathers have. So the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. But you know, they may have come back to that great opening, but they came back in vain for any trace of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all their families and all their goods, but they found nothing, the Bible says. Perhaps they saw a little swirl of wind produced by the breath of the earth's mouth as it closed upon them. What was that wind? Well, it was the wind that they inherited, for they troubled their house. You know, it's an amazing thing also to remember that God chose Eli the priest to rear Samuel the prophet. Now, you go to the Department of Welfare in the state. Okay, where are we going to put Samuel? They'll go to Eli's house and say, no. This isn't where Samuel should go. Eli's not fit. Look at his sons. You know, God didn't do that. But God gave Samuel to Eli to rear. But Eli's sons were sons who were told of Belial, the devil. And it says they knew not the Lord. But Eli troubled his own house, for his sons knew not the Lord. You know, parents, it's your obligation to see that your children know the Lord. I believe it's possible for you to see your children saved by living a life that you ought to and not troubling your house. Being faithful in church, being faithful in prayer, being faithful in teaching them of the Lord. But Eli was complicit in the corruption of the times, for a portion of every sacrificial offering was stolen for the priest's use in such a manner that men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They made sure that a good portion of that which was to be sacrificed was given to the priest. But Eli's sons were such to use their father's influence to satisfy their own perverted lusts. Eli was a weak and soft kind of man, and instead of taking care of the problem, he used soft talk to reason with his evil sons. In 1 Samuel 2, 23, 24, you can almost feel the ooze coming out of Eli's mouth. Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. You may have even done that. I don't know. But Eli was soft. He was weak. But God would not have such things continue. And he sent a man of God to Eli who pronounced the death sentence that Eli should have announced himself against his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. If Eli would have done his job, Eli should have done that. But the sentence not only included the death of his sons, but also the promise that there would be no carrying on of the name of Eli, for there would not be an old man in the house of Eli. My, that was a terrible thing to ponder. In those days, your heritage was so important. What heritage you presented to the future was so important. So what did Eli inherit? Well, Eli inherited the wind. What did his sons inherit? They inherited the wind. Nothing but that which cannot be seen, only its effects, and only its destruction. It comes and does its duty, but soon leaves and quietly moves into the place that it has left. You know, you inherit the wind. That's what you get by troubling your own house. How important are our homes? How important for our children, for them to be spiritual places where the Lord is loved, where the Lord is worshiped, where God's word is preeminent in their lives, where our examples are pure examples, where we lead them in the right direction and train them up in the way that they should go. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful book of Proverbs. We thank you for this wonderful verse that we've studied today. My, it could be so disheartening to us, and yet it's the truth. Lord, we so easily can trouble our own homes. Things creep in, ways and habits creep in, and all of a sudden we see trouble. Lord, help us to go in to our homes and examine ourselves whether we truly be in the faith in our homes. and help those of us who are given leadership. Yes, the men are in charge, but the women have leadership also in the home, how important they are. And help us, Father, to have homes that are godly, homes that are dedicated to you, that something golden, something eternal will be inherited because we had the right kind of homes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.